You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Game On. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, good morning, New Point. We are so glad that you're here, and we're thankful for each and every one of you, and I want you to know that I love you, and it's an honor to be able to serve with you and to be able to make a difference in our world for Jesus. And so we're glad that you're here. Our youngest son, Ben, just graduated from high school, and he's now entering into the season of being a college student. And I was thinking about that, and we have four kids, Caleb, Sarah, Jonathan, and Ben, and all four of them know nothing other than New Point. It's the only church they've ever attended. They've never attended another church other than New Point. And it's had a profound impact on their life. All of them love Jesus. They not only love Jesus, they love his church. As imperfect as New Point is, and as imperfect as Jesus' church is, which is you and me, they love his church. And you need to be commended for that. And Patty and I thank you. And we're honored to be able to serve with you and to be a part of New Point. You see, I believe that the three most important decisions that a person makes, the first one is to accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sin and the leader of their life. The second one is who you're going to marry, okay? Really a big decision. The third one is the church that you will attend. Because the church that you will attend will have a profound impact on your life. It will shape you, and it will lead you all throughout life. And our kids love New Point. Matter of fact, one of the hardest things for them to do when they go off to college is to find a church, because you've made it hard for them to be able to find a church that they feel they can be a part of and that they can love and that they can enjoy. And it's because of you that it's worked so well. And you've made it work. And hundreds of you have embraced our vision and our mission to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ and to be able to create irresistible environments of where God's Spirit can move and work and speak, of where it's conducive for each and every person to connect with God and to be able to connect with others, and then to help other people connect their family and friends to God. And like anything else, it's something that can be taken for granted. You know, anything that I become familiar with, and maybe you're a whole lot like me, I have a feeling that you are, then anything that we become familiar with, we can begin to take it for granted. I mean, this happens in marriage all the time. We become familiar with one another, and so we just take one another for granted. And I don't want us to take this for granted. I want us to understand what God is doing and how he is using you and how he is using us to be able to influence the world and to be able to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. Now, our desire here at New Point is to create a church for those who don't like church. All right? That's why I do what I do. People will ask me, you know, why did you quote unquote get into the ministry? And the fact of the matter is, we're going to learn this morning that if you're a Christ follower, we're all in ministry, okay? But, you know, people think that I'm in ministry and you're not. But the fact of the matter is, we all are in ministry who know Jesus Christ. But the reason why is because I wanted to help people to understand who God was. Because here's what I believe. Most people believe in God, they just don't believe in the local church. And so we want to create a church for those who don't like church. Matter of fact, that's the reason why we had that opening song, okay? I know the video didn't work. You'll have to check that out later, okay? It doesn't always go according to plan here, but we swing for the fences. But the reason for that is because we want to leverage culture. We want to be able to leverage culture. When God visited Earth 2,000 years ago, he became like you and me. He stepped into our culture. He identified with you and he identified with me. And what we have to understand is once we become a Christ follower, we become his body. We become his hands. We become his feet. And we have to understand that. And so our desire has always been to create a church for people who don't like church. And so we're his body. And because we're his body, we need to be infectious. We need to be contagious. We need to be irresistible. Because that's what Jesus was when he was here on planet Earth. He was contagious. He was infectious. He was irresistible. And now he has handed that baton off to you and me. And he wants you and I to run. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to help us to be able to understand this better and to be able to get clarity on it. Because here's our tendency. Our tendency, when somebody asks you this afternoon or this evening when you watch the Cavs, and pray for the Cavs, okay? What'd you do today? You're going to say, I went to what? I went to church. But the fact of the matter is, you are the church. You are the church, and I am the church. And we have to understand that. We're his hands, we're his body, we're his feet. And Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians. And let me encourage you to take your note-taking guide, and we'll look at what Paul had to say. But he was writing to a church much like New Point, and he was trying to bring clarity on this issue about getting involved, about serving. And so he says this. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. He goes on to say this, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the same Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so he gives the analogy here that when a man or a woman or a person comes to know Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life, we become one body. We become one body, whether Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. He says, whether slave or free. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter about your economic status. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated, wealthy or poor. He says here that we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And he describes here the body of Christ, that we are now the body of Christ. And then he even clarifies himself even in a better way by saying this. Now, here is what I'm trying to say. All of you together, slave or free, Greek or Gentile, okay? All of you together are one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and what? Necessary part of it. What he is saying is that you and I have a role to play. You and I are a necessary part of the body. Now, if you're like me and you're getting a little bit older, you're finding out that it's no fun when one part of your body doesn't work too well. Right? It's just not fun. And so it is in the body of Christ. You see, I believe that the church should be the most well-led organization on planet Earth. You know why? Because it's going to last forever and ever and ever. Google's not going to last forever. It's going to come down, just like IBM, okay? Apple is not going to last forever. None of these are going to last forever. You know why? Because they're not God's gift to the world. God's gift to the world is the church. The hope of the world is the church, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus was contagious and infectious, okay? You and I are called to be contagious and infectious, okay? And so what we want to do is we want to create an environment here for people who don't like church. So that when they come, when you invite your family and friends, and they come and they hear somebody like me speak, and they sit there and say, I don't think I agree with the dude. I think he's wrong. But I'm going to come back. I don't know if I value everything that you value. But you know what? You guys are so infectious, you're so contagious, you're so kind, you're so generous, you're so loving. You know what? I just like hanging out with you all. I don't believe what you believe. I don't agree with what you agree on. But you know what? I just like being with you. You see, that's what Jesus was. I mean, everybody loved to hang out with Jesus, even the people who didn't agree with him. Even the people who felt that he was so much, quote unquote, holier than what they were, they loved to be with him. And so you and I are called to be the church. You're called to be the church, and I'm called to be the church. And we're called to be contagious, and we are a necessary part of that. So never forget that you are the church. You are our church. You are your church. And your church will never be better than you. Did you get that? Your church will never be better than you. And our church will never be better than us. And so it takes all of us. It takes all of us. And let's be the kind of church that when people hear about New Point, they will say this: I don't agree with everything that they do. I don't believe in everything that they do, but you know what? I am thankful for them to be in our community. You know why? Because we are a better community, and we have a better county. We have a better city because of them. Are you with me on that? Come on. Huh? Say, you know what? Listen, you're looking for the government to solve our problems. Uh-oh. Don't go there, Dwight. I am. We're more worried about the government and the White House than we are God's house. And God did not give the White House to solve the world's problems. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. They all create problems for us. Because there's only one ultimate problem solver, and that's Christ. And when we have him at the center of our life, the center of our focus, it's amazing what can happen. And so God's gift to the world is his body. His body. It's you and me. And when we're functioning the way in which we are called to and we are made to, then what happens is, listen to me, it has a profound effect on our world. On our world. You want to know why the world is in the shape that it's in? Because the church isn't functioning the way that it should. We've lost our saltiness. Our light has become dim. And what happens is if we'll ever have our saltiness and if we ever let our light shine, then I'm telling you folks, it has a profound impact. A profound impact. And so we're the body of Christ. You're the church. I'm the church. And we'll never be better than you. We'll never be better than me. And so we have to embrace this. Now, why is this so important? Let me give you some reasons of why you and I need to get in the game, why you and I need to embrace this thinking that we are the body of Christ. So let's go through this, okay? Here's the first reason. It's why I exist. It's why I exist. The reason why you exist is to be able to serve God. That's the reason why you have life. That's the reason why you have breath. That's the reason why you have gifts. That's the reason why you have talents. That's the reason why you have intelligence. All of that. The reason why you are called to serve and I am called to serve, the reason why you're a necessary part of it and I'm a necessary part of it is because it's the reason why I exist. Look at what Paul has to say here. He says this in Ephesians, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. Long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. You see, the reason why Christ saved you is so that you could serve, so that you could serve him, so that you could serve one another. And so I need to understand the reason why I need to get in the game, the reason why you need to get in the game, is because it's the reason why you exist. Now, you know, probably all of us at one time or another have battled discouragement or depression. Would you agree with me? You know why? Because we look inward. We're focusing on ourselves. Quickest way, fastest way to get out of discouragement or to get out of depression is to serve. You know why? Because you were created to serve. That's why you exist. You don't exist to consume. You exist to contribute. And I promise you, if you will understand this, if you will embrace this, if you will understand that the reason why you are alive today and the reason why Jesus Christ saved you is so that you could serve, I'm telling you, you will come alive. It's the reason why we exist. Here's the second thing. It is this. It gives proof that I'm a follower of Christ. It gives proof that I'm a follower of Christ. One of the ways in which you give evidence that you are a Christ follower, that I'm a Christ follower, that we have come into relationship with Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, is that we serve. It gives proof. You see, your profession really doesn't mean that much. All right? Jesus said many will come in that day and will say, Lord, Lord. And he will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Because the fact of the matter is, what you say and who you are can be two different things. And it's possession. And so serving, okay, being a part of the body of Christ, as imperfect as it is, okay, as imperfect as it is, gives proof that you're a believer. It doesn't make you a believer, but it gives proof. Look at what Paul has to say. This is profound. You are a part of the body of Christ, and now you belong to him in order that we might be useful in the service of God. Who do you belong to? Who do I belong to? Now, if you're not a Christ follower, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you're off the hook. You don't have this problem. You got another problem, but not this one. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you belong to God now. And you are called to be useful in the service of God. And so it gives proof. If you have no desire, listen to me, I want to say this as lovingly as I possibly can, but if you have no desire to serve God, then I would examine whether you even know God. Because there's a good chance you don't. Because you think that you belong to yourself and you don't. And so it's why I exist, and it gives proof that I am a Christ follower. Here's the third thing that we need to understand. It's the way I serve God. It's the way I serve God. Why do I need to get into the game? Why do I need to understand that I'm a necessary part of the body of Christ? Because it's the way that I serve God. See, the way in which you and I serve God is by serving other people. And when we serve other people, ultimately we're serving God because God has created us all. See, Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord that you are what? Serving. You see, that's why we're called to serve. Because he says, you're serving me, you're not serving men. Because all of us, if people, we're imperfect, right? And what we can say is, well, when you get your act together, I'll start serving. But the fact of the matter is, you think you're serving them, and you're not. You're serving God. And so when you and I serve people, what happens, ultimately, we're serving the Lord. When you serve the church, you're ultimately serving Jesus Christ. As imperfect as she is, you're serving God. And so when I serve people, I'm ultimately serving God. Jesus explained this in a parable that he told in Matthew. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, he's assuming, or he's letting us know, that whenever you come to Christ, you're automatically going to serve. It's the foundation, okay? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. He wraps it up with this. He says, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? He goes on to say, and when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And here's what he says, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of my brothers, you did it to who? You did it to me. So that means that you and I cannot get off the hook just by coming to church. Hey, God, I served you today. I was in service. You serve God by serving people. So what happens is, if you change a baby's diaper today in Rainforest, guess what you're doing? You're serving God. If you give out graham crackers, okay, to kids today, guess what? You're serving God. If you teach in Velocity, if you work in the parking lot, serving the, all of those things, what happens is New Point just happens to be the vehicle. It just happens to be the avenue. But ultimately, you're doing something of eternal value, because when you do that, what happens is you're making the best day ever for some people who's coming here. And that's what we want. The best day ever means that we're infectious, we're contagious. That what happens is people are coming here who want to be loved, who need to be accepted, who need to experience hope and healing through the person of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, what happens ultimately, we're offering an act of service, of worship to God. And when we do it to the least of these, God takes notice. Here's the fourth reason we need to do this. I am indebted to God. I am indebted to God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you're indebted. You're indebted, and I'm indebted to God. Paul would say it like this in Romans chapter 12. Because of God's great mercy to us. Let's stop right there, okay? Because if you don't get this point, you won't get the next point. Because of God's great mercy. What he is saying is, because of what I just told you in the first 11 chapters of Romans. And what did I tell you? No one is righteous. No, not one. You don't even have the ability to do what is right, Dwight, on your own. And your wages of sin is going to lead you to death and to destruction. And then he turns the corner and he talks about this. But he who knew no sin became sin. He's talking about Jesus coming to earth and being nailed on a cross. He said, he who knew no sin became sin so that, Dwight, you might be forgiven of your sins. And then he tops it out there in Romans chapter 8. He says, so for those of you who are in Christ, there is now no what? Condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. And so that's the mercy that he's talking about, that God has extended great mercy to you and me, that we don't have to live in guilt and shame anymore, that we don't have to live a condemned life anymore, because Christ took that upon him. And what he is saying is, because of all of that, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service. What's his service? Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we're about creating a church for people who don't like church. We're about helping people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And that takes all of us. You see, Jesus declared it when he came to earth 2,000 years ago. Mark says it like this. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, who's the body of Christ? Somebody help me. Who's the body of Christ? It's those of us who say and claim that we know Jesus Christ, right? So the day that you and I accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, we don't come here to be served. You know, it always amazes me. Hey, I'm here, I'm checking out the church, I want to see what you have to offer. And I want to say, are you a Christ follower? Yeah, how about me checking out you and seeing what you have to offer? Still like me live? Huh? See, we got it backwards, folks. We got it backwards. The day that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not coming here to be served. Well, I didn't like the opener. I didn't like this. I didn't like, it's not for you then. We're not here to serve you. We're here to serve those who have yet to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, I know, listen to me. I know that that hits at your self-centeredness. Okay? Because we all like everything to be focused on us, right? Well, the day that I came to accept Jesus Christ as my personal forgiver of my sins and leader of my life, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm now called to serve and to give my life as a what? As a ransom, as a sacrifice for those who don't know Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what he did for me. That's what he did for me. And so I'm indebted to God. That's why I do this, okay? Everything here, can I just bring you up to speed? Everything that we do here at New Point, I don't necessarily like. You know why? I grew up in the church. I know all the traditions. I like traditions. But what we have found out is some of the traditions have gotten in the way of reaching people. Doesn't make sense to them. And so do I love my traditions more than I love people? Or do I love people more than I love my traditions? Are you all right on that one? Say, we're not here to be served. We're here to serve others. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, okay, you just need to know what you're signing up for. Okay? It's a life of transformation. It will mess with your head. Okay? And so I'm indebted to God because of what he's done. And now I've been called to serve this world. Okay? And when I do, it has a profound impact on them. Here's the fifth one. It's the wisest investment that you could make. You know what? It calls for a high commitment. You know why? You know why we call for a high commitment here? Because there's high results. The stakes are high. We're talking about people's eternity. We're talking about where people spend forever. Not a week, not a month, but forever. It's the wisest investment. You know, a guy who I knew fairly well died this past month. And I was telling my wife, we drove by his business. And within 30 days, you know what they have? They have an auction going on. They're selling his business. And I just stopped there and I said, isn't that sobering? The guy's died and within 30 days they're selling his business. You know why? Because you leave it all behind. You leave it all behind. He invested his whole life there. And you know what? They're putting it up for auction. And I'm thinking, man, doesn't that knock you for a loop? You see, the wisest investment that you and I can make is in that which is eternal. And the only thing that's going to last forever is the church. It's you and me. It's the wisest thing. If I knew of a wiser thing to invest in, I would invest in. Here's what Paul would say, okay? He would say, keep busy in your work for the Lord. Now, we keep busy, right? See, this is the tension. You know, what we say, what we say is my life is so full, my life is so busy that, you know what, when it slows down, I'll start serving at the church. Because you guys asked for too high of a commitment. And so what happens is you're busy in everything but the work of the Lord. And he says, if you're going to be neck high into something, let it be in serving God, okay? He says, keep busy in your work for the Lord, since you know that nothing you do in the Lord's service is without value. He says, everything that you and I do in serving God has value to it. Let me tell you one value, okay? Here's one value. By the time you are 13 years of age, your convictions and your values and your beliefs have already been formed. Think of that. That's why you're struggling so much in your adulthood and trusting Jesus. Because you didn't learn how to trust Jesus as a kid. See, over in Velocity, we teach them three things. You ready for this? Think if you would have got this as a kid. Here's what we teach in Velocity, okay? We teach that you need to trust God with everything. That's number one. Number two is that you need to treat everybody else the way in which you want to be treated. Wouldn't that be interesting? And the third thing is you need to make wise decisions because they determine your future. Now just think with me just for a moment. If that would have been ingrained in you by the time you were 13 years old. You need to trust God with everything, okay? You need to treat others the way in which you want to be treated, and you need to make wise decisions. You see, here's where we struggle, okay? Hang with me just for a moment, okay? Here's where we struggle. So when somebody talks about tithing, you resist it. You know why? Because it doesn't make sense to you as an adult, because you weren't taught that as a kid. And all tithing is a trust issue. Is a trust issue. And so what happens, one of the greatest places and the wisest place that you and I can make an investment is in family life ministry. Is to be able to say, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of training kids to trust God with everything so that when they go to college and life hits them right in the face and circumstances that are out of their control touch their lives, they'll be able to say, but you know what? I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. It's the greatest and wisest investment. Number six, it's the key to experiencing life. It's the key to experiencing life. When you and I serve, it's the key to experiencing life. Look what Jesus has to say here. He says, only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it really means to live. See, most people exist. Most people don't live. And I'm telling you, man, I wish I could convey this better. I'm telling you, when you get a hold of what God wants you to do and you get into it up to your neck and you start serving other people in the name of Jesus, you will come alive. Sometimes I just walk around and I'm in my car and I just scream and yell. You know why? I won't do it for you here, but I can't believe this. Life is so full and has so much meaning for me, it's unbelievable. You know why? Because I'm on mission. Every person that I come in contact with, you know what? I get the joy and the thrill of offering them hope and offering them healing. Think about that. So can I say something that you'll trust my heart? Everybody who comes in contact with me, after they come in contact with me, are going to be thankful that they've come in contact with me. Not because of me, but because of who lives within me. I'm going to share Jesus with them. I'm going to share hope with them. I'm going to give them healing. And we have the words of life. We have the words of life, man. And I'm telling you, when you understand this, it will blow you away. And whether you live in a shack or whether you live in a mansion, what happens is you'll be fully, fully, fully alive. It's the key to experiencing life. That's what he says. And then finally, I will be rewarded on top of everything else. On top of everything else, I will be rewarded for my service. And I'm going to spend more time on that side of the grave than I am on this side of the grave. That's incredible. Have you thought about that? See, what happens, most of us plan for retirement. We just don't plan for eternity. And can I say your retirement is going to be a whole lot shorter than your eternity? And we give more thought to retirement than we do eternity. And I'm going to be rewarded forever and ever and ever. Look at what Jesus has to say. Here's what he says. He says, my Father will honor the one who serves me. Not only in the next life, but I'll be honored right here. See, here's what I believe. When I put God's interests first in my life, then he takes care of all my other interests. You know, when I invest in other people's lives, you know what? And this has happened with our four kids. He has sent people into our life who have invested in our kids. It's how God works. God says, Dwight, what do you want to happen in your life? I'd like for somebody to invest in my kids. So you know what? I invest in other people. And then he sends people along who invest in my kids. It's his economy. It's how it works. So he rewards me not only in this life, but he rewards me in the next life. And so you're the church. I'm the church. You're your church. I'm my church. Okay? And the church cannot be any better than you are, and the church cannot be any better than I am. And so what I'm calling all of us do is to serve. And I'm going to ask our volunteers, they're going to come forward at this time. And I have something for you. I want to give you a gift today, okay? Two gifts, all right? And they're going to come and hand them out. One is I'm going to give you a cookie, all right? I know some of you need some sugar right now. Okay, I can see it in your face, all right? And so we're going to give you a chocolate chip cookie, and you can eat it right here, okay? The second thing that I'm going to give you is a card, and it's called Best Day Ever. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to fill out this card as you eat your cookie, all right, and record your name there. And then on the back side, I want you to be able to check where you feel you would be most interested in serving, whether it would be in children's ministry, whether it be in student ministry, whether it be in First Impressions. First Impressions is like greeters and the cafe and things like that, maybe parking lot or a small group leader, or maybe creative arts. Maybe you are an artistic person, or the care team. Care team is people who help us take care of people. The mentoring, we have mentoring on Wednesday night, and they just minister to people's needs. Or facilities, maybe you like to work with your hands. Or maybe other, and other might be prayer. You know, for the last 15, 18 years, every Monday morning I meet with a group of people at 6 a.m., and we pray. We pray for you, we pray for this service. Didn't know that, did you? Every Monday morning at 6 a.m., we pray. We pray right over here. And I have a group of people who pray with me before this service. We meet at 8:30. Maybe you'd